Welcome, everyone, to episode 005 of the Spectacular Comic Book Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Reiner, again joined by Kyle Federline.
That is me, and I am ready to get into this week because I think we have some good books.
A little different. We've been very focused on capes and spandex and the superhero world. Mm-hmm. This week, we got something a little different in, we have some Star Wars. Mm-hmm. We have some high fantasy in the After Realm, and we're going to give reviews of both of those. We still have some capes and spandex. Don't worry about that. There are some superhero books, both from DC and Marvel, that are good jumping on points, and we're gonna tell you about those, and I think they're fine books as well. Just to give you a little spoiler on my reviews, I had a great time reading books this week. So let's start off with our first one.
Star Wars. Darth Vader.
So the official description from Marvel reads, in the shattering climax of The Empire Strikes Back, Darth Vader infamously reveals his true relationship to Luke Skywalker and invites his only son to rule the galaxy at his side. But Luke refuses, plunging into the abyss beneath Cloud City rather than turn to the dark side. We all remember Luke's utter horror in this life-altering moment. But what about Vader? In this new epic chapter in the Darth Vader saga, the Dark Lord grapples with Luke's unthinkable refusal and embarks on a bloody mission of rage-filled revenge against everything and anyone who had a hand in hiding and corrupting his only son. But even as he uncovers the secrets of Luke's origins, Vader must face shocking new challenges from his own dark past. All right, Kyle, I had the time of my life reading this from the very first page where you actually see Vader and Luke throw down from Vader's perspective, like your first person Darth Vader, as he's beating the tar out of his son at Cloud City. That was such a cool idea to see it from that perspective, and it really brings you into Darth Vader's world, which is the focus of this comic book. There's been many Darth Vader series out there, or a couple of them at least. This captivated me more than any other. Holy hell, the last page, it's a terrible idea. It's something I did not expect. I don't think any Star Wars fan expected to see that. I can't wait for book two. What do you think?
I was right there with you. I didn't know what to expect going into this book because I've never read a Star Wars comic. And I love the idea of kind of getting into Darth Vader's head. And in this particular issue, I felt his emotions and I felt his pain dealing with the flashbacks that he sees and feels in this book itself. Writing was great. The artwork was great. He was wrecking everything in his path. Man, I want to consume more of this content.
So this is written by Greg Pak, art by Rafael Ionco. I'm going to mispronounce it, but I did my best, so no disrespect there. To catch you up on what Marvel's been doing since they got the Star Wars license, it used to be Dark Horse, and they would do a lot of kind of expanded universe stuff. This is all canonical stuff, and when Marvel got it, they started doing books between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. Now we have content for 2020 that is between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So you see it kick off at the very end of Empire Strikes Back on Cloud City with that final moment of Luke being defeated. Mm-hmm. So it's going to fill in those gaps. So what we're seeing from Vader's perspective is his hunt to get the Rebels, Luke, and in particular, Luke.
Yeah.
What I like about this is it answers some of the questions I had in trying to understand how Vader didn't know that there was a kid named Skywalker on Tatooine. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's little things there that you're just like, well, that was dumb of Obi-Wan to keep that name. But they actually go into that. So you actually see Vader go to Tatooine. That's a minor spoiler for you. But he's basically tracking Luke's history, right? Like he's going beat by beat. And like you said, he's an angry guy.
Yeah.
And you do feel what he's going through as you go through this book. I'm giving this one, I'm going to rave about this. I'm going to give it a 9.5 out of 10.
Wow.
It's exactly what I wanted from a Darth Vader book. I've liked the ones in the past with like Dr. Aphra and stuff like that, how they expand the universe. Mm-hmm. But this really makes you get into his head and you feel like it's doing a good job of connecting the dots between Empire and Return. What'd you think?
I gave it an 8.25 out of 10. I really liked it. I really, really enjoyed it. I am curious because you are a far superior being
person?
that I am not going there. That you've had so much more knowledge as far as Star Wars goes, and for someone you know that has been surrounded around that universe for so long, do you think that people that have paid attention to that universe so long, that like you, would find this book satisfying?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like I said, it was exactly what I felt like it would be like in Vader's helmet at this point in his life, right? There was a book I read, I think it was just called Darth Vader, where it went through when he was wearing the armor for the first time. It was like, you're in his mind, and he hated it. Like, he hated his body. He felt like it was poorly made, because you know he's a brilliant, he made C-3PO, he's brilliant at working on robots. And he felt like the Emperor did a bad job, and the robots he had rushed it, and he felt all this pain. I loved that. Like, that book alone was fantastic. This kind of feels like a continuation of that. Like, you never really get a good feel of who Vader is in the movies, and that's intentional, because he is just this big threat, and you are with the ensemble instead. You're with Luke and Leia and Han and all that stuff. This flips the table, basically. You end up having Vader is your lead through this book. If you want to follow Luke and continue those characters' journey in this space, this kind of gap that they're filling in, there's another book going on right now just called Star Wars. And I think it's up to issue 3. You should be able to find 1 and 2 in stores still, or go online. At least get them for under $10 each if you want to get those. Those are very good as well. Not as exciting as this. Like, the excitement that Vader delivers when he's angry. I mean, even against his own people, right? Like, the Empire, he just doesn't care. Like, he just has a mission and he's on it, and you better not get in his way is basically the kind of tone of this book.
Yeah. I do like that you feel emotions from Vader in this book that you wouldn't feel in the movies. You don't get, it's almost like you're having one-on-one time with him by reading this.
And I also like that the Death Troopers, the ones in black from Rogue One, that had the kind of muffled voices, you can't make out what the hell they're saying in this book. And no, that's intentional. That's like a joke they have running through this. I think that's fantastic. Let's move on to book 2.
Ant-Man.
Here's what Marvel has to say about this book. Scott Lang is back and doing better than ever, at least according to him. But his daughter Stinger and the anthill he's living in say otherwise. Desperate to raise his daughter's opinion of him, Scott takes a job from local beekeepers, only to uncover a global conspiracy that could topple the world order. No time to call the Avengers. This sounds like a job for Ant-Man. All right, Kyle, I don't know what you think of the Marvel Cinematic movies. They're the ones that bring in the least amount of money. I do think they're fun, though. I don't think Marvel's made a bad movie yet, by the way, in the cinematic universe. I've enjoyed every one of their films. Some more, a lot more than others, but I do like the Ant-Man movies. I'm really curious to see what you think of how they wrote Scott Lang, who is Ant-Man, in this first issue.
I really enjoyed this book. You know, he's just a man that's trying to make ends meet. And I like that, you know, he goes into this big, the book opens up with a drug bust that he hopes, you know, that he's able to pick up more business as a quote-unquote hero for hire.
Yeah, he's like doing the superhero hustle here.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
It is. And I loved it. I really took that in. And, you know, his living quarters are luxurious to an ant standard.
Yeah, he lives in an anthill. Not even in his own yard. Like, yeah. I guess he doesn't have a house. Like, it's just some random old lady's house.
Yeah,
it also brings in his daughter from Young Avengers. I guess she's in the movie, too. Mm. Stinger. She's along for the ride as well. And boy, she's as harsh on her father as anyone else in this book. There's some good action, too. Like, there's a drug bust they go on, and they use their ability to shrink or grow to great heights to fun effect, I would say. There's some really comedic moments in this, and it really fits the tone. I'm guessing you probably were thrown off by him being a blonde.
Yes, he looks a little different.
That's Paul Rudd's problem. Like, they should have bleached his hair.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have totally done that. But, you know, aside from that, this book, I enjoyed this book. And especially towards the end, he encounters an individual or what you would think to be as an enemy. Really, he may not be the big bad of the comic. So yeah. I'm excited to see where issue number 2 goes.
And this is written by Zeb Wells, with art by Dylan Burnett. Kyle, what's your score?
8 out of 10.
I'm going to give the book the same score.
Nice. Hey, look at that. 8 out of 10. This is like complete opposite from last week.
I think the buildup is better than where the narrative goes and where the threat goes. I like the whole thing of him trying to make some money dealing with a bee problem. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, then when you find out what the bee problem is, it's like, well, this escalated really fast.
Yep.
I think that was a little strange in how they kind of hold all that together. But if you really think about these threats and how he kind of factors into all that, I do think it is kind of cool. Love the art, too. It has kind of a pulpy feel to it, which fits Ant-Man very well. All right, let's do book three.
Justice League 40.
And here's what DC has to say about Justice League. An unexpected arrival from the stars brings a dire warning to the Justice League. A new breed of conquerors is on the march. Led by Superman's nemesis, Eradicator, a genetically engineered superpowered strike team has come to subjugate Earth. To aid the Justice League, Batman makes the unprecedented decision of enlisting an ancient, unrivaled power, which calls into question who exactly is in charge. With the Justice League on unsure footing, who will be ready to save the world? All right, there's a lot of rumors going on that DC's going to reboot or they're going to go to Gen 5. Like, New 52 was considered the beginning of kind of Gen 4, tie-in rebirth and all that stuff, everything that kind of happened after that. It sounds like their Wonder Woman 750, which we reviewed, Kyle, is kind of hinting that last issue or that last story in that issue from Scott Snyder is maybe hinting at or giving us a glimpse of what Gen 5 is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are thinking that this Justice League is going to lead into this as well. I'm not really seeing anything here that jumps out outside of the phenomenal art.
Oh, man, it's so good.
Doug Mankey. It's outstanding, written by Robert Venditti, who is going to be on our show, by the way. We've been discussing a time to have him on to talk about Justice League and his other books, so we can't wait to have him on. I liked where this book started off. It has a more of a kind of unified superhero team vibe to it than Snyder's run. Every hero really has a lot of time in the spotlight, and I think they do a good job of kind of honing in on their what makes them tick and unique, especially Batman. I like how he's handled. Superman just seems kind of down on himself a lot. Mm-hmm. He's gone through plenty with Brian Michael Bendis writing his standalone books. And then you get to kind of the threat that's coming in here, and we're going super cosmic here. We have a character that kind of shows up that nobody really is familiar with. I love how they have to scan him. I don't want to reveal who he is. You're not going to know who he is, but part of what makes this issue fun is figuring that out with the heroes, right?
Yep.
And then the threat is something we could talk about, and that is the Eradicator, which goes all the way back to the Death of Superman, Dan Jurgens, another person who will be on the show soon. He created all these kind of alternate versions of Superman when he died. There was Superboy, there was Steel, the Eradicator, and Cyborg. Eradicator has been a big threat since then. He's going to be bringing something terrible to Earth and to the universe as this book goes on. Again, I think they did a phenomenal job of really bringing you big beats for each of these heroes, whether that's Wonder Woman or Green Lantern or Flash. I think that there's some really fun stuff here. I'm going to go with an 8.5. This is a great jumping on point if you're into Justice League. I think from panel one, they really set the tone for easing you into this story. And also, they take the time to describe everything that's going on in great detail, which I love. What'd you think?
I really enjoyed this book. I felt like the pace of the book from the beginning to the end was steady. There was no slow points. There was no not action the entire time. I felt like it was paced out very well. And you nailed you hit the nail on the head by saying, you know, each character kind of has their own spotlight or there's some fun stuff with each character throughout just this first issue. I feel like everyone got the spotlight at some point or another. And that was really nice to see. The artwork was awesome. Absolutely loved what I was seeing. I enjoyed seeing quite a bit of Batman in it, too. I love Batman. He's my favorite. So,
if you've been reading Batman books, there's a bit with Alfred in here, which is a little puzzling. I'm curious to see what people think of that as they read it. I don't want to say any more, but yeah, Alfred is definitely a buzzword these days for Batman.
Okay. I'm going to give this an 8.25. It's a good book. It's, like I said, steady pace all the way through. Kept me interested from the first page to the last page. And issue number two can only get better from there. This is going to be a good series, I think.
All right, let's move on to book four.
X-Men and Fantastic Four.
Marvel's description is short and sweet. Krakoa. Every mutant on Earth lives there, except for one. But now it's time for Franklin Richards to come home. I cannot wait to hear how confused you are, Kyle. Because there's a lot going on in the X-Men universe right now. As of late last year, they completely rebooted X-Men, like probably more so than they've ever done since their inception. Completely changed the rules of, yes, the characters are the same. You know them. Wolverine's the same, all that. But their standing in the world is completely different. They all live on an island together called Krakoa. It is a mutant safe haven created, what you believe, by Professor X. He kind of lords over it with Magneto. Apocalypse is also there.
Mm-hmm.
Good guys, bad guys together. Sabretooth's in a pit somewhere. He was one who didn't make the cut. They couldn't trust him there.
He was down in Ravencroft.
But there's one mutant that isn't there right now. They're still collecting more from Earth, but one big name, and that is the son of Reed and Sue Richards, Franklin Richards, who through cosmic events is more grown up than he was as of last month. He's kind of a teenager now, I believe. At least that's how he's drawn and kind of written. The X-Men want him on the island because there's something crazy going on with Franklin. He's losing his powers. Every time he uses them, he gets weaker. He's fearing he's going to just become a average human being like you, Kyle. He won't be elite like me anymore.
Okay.
The X-Men want to help him. They want to see if Krakoa can maybe help heal him or save his powers or reverse what's going on. Obviously, you have the smartest person on the planet in Reed Richards. He's working on it. He's not having any breakthroughs. Franklin is frustrated with that. The whole family's frustrated with it. When the X-Men come knocking, obviously bad things happen, right? And that's what this issue explores, is you see them go to the Richards residence. It's kind of a one-note comic in that regard. You're not going to get a lot of big revelations or reveals or anything like that. It just kind of is a first issue, a table setter of sorts. That said, the writing is really great. I think that the characters really shine in this one. I especially like how they're painting this older version of Franklin and the relationship he has with a certain X-Men character. I don't want to go too into the weeds here. It's a decent start. I'm going to give it an 8. Like I said, I enjoyed pretty much every book we reviewed or are looking at this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stick through this one because it is a limited series. So I believe it's just going to be 4 issues, living true to the Fantastic Four name. What happens after that? Will Franklin be on the Fantastic Four, or will he be on the X-Men? We'll have to wait and see.
That'll be interesting.
The last few pages really do kind of give you something a little different. I don't know. I don't know if I'm completely sold on what's happening there. It seems to fall more into the Fantastic Four realm than X-Men, but yeah, we'll have to see. What'd you think, Kyle?
Well, I did enjoy reading this book. I may have to say it was probably the weakest out of the batch that we've read for me. I just kind of felt all over the place with it. There was a lot of jumping around between characters, and ultimately it felt like a tug of war between the X-Men and Fantastic Four fighting over Franklin. With that said, I was thinking about how many different characters are showing up in this book, and the writer, like, you can't just write dialogue for these characters. You got to be in the personality of who these characters are, and that is, I do not envy that. I mean, that is a tough job for him to do, and I think, you know, he executed that very well.
Yeah, that's it. Chip Zdarsky? I don't know how to pronounce his name.
We'll go with, yeah.
Zdarkshy. Zdarkshy. Sure. Art by Terry Dodson.
We'll go with Chip. I think he did an excellent job in portraying these individuals' personalities. The writing was good. It was an entertaining read. I personally, what lost me was jumping around from different, you know, different locations to different characters. It was quite a bit through the first issue, but at the end, everything kind of wrapped around and came together, and, you know, leaving you with the cliffhanger like this did at the end of the book kept me interested into wanting to see what issue two has to offer. And for me, I gave this a 7.5 out of 10.
All right. You know, it's interesting what you said about there being so many characters. Mm-hmm. So like Justice League, it's usually a handful, right? Maybe seven, mm-hmm. eight if you're lucky. Fantastic Four, obviously you know what you're getting there. X-Men has always been kind of bloated in the cast. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what kind of makes it cool and different. But at the same time, I agree with you. At times it'll be very hard to read.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there are so many characters and little cameos and little through lines, these little plots you got to keep track of as it goes along.
Mm-hmm.
It can get a little daunting at times, and you really got to pay attention and reread. Like, oh, who was that character? I got to go back two issues.
Yeah,
go look at it again. This is going to be one of those books that probably will have that problem times two, right? Because you're going to have mm-hmm. all the Fantastic Four, and then what's going on with
X-Men,
Krakoa, right out of the gates too. The first few pages, you get to see Krakoa, and it's like, oh my God, there's a billion characters here. And obviously, they want to take you on a tour of the greatest hits, make sure all the big names are represented in that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Daunting task for the writer. Obviously, it's got to be fun also to just, let's say you have Wolverine in a couple of panels, just to give him mm-hmm. a couple lines of dialogue. It's got to be awesome. And let's move on to the final book.
The After Realm.
Here's what Image Comics has to say about that one. In the aftermath of Ragnarok, Una, an elven ranger, sets out into the post-apocalyptic chaos to discover the fate of the old gods. But first, she must fulfill an oath to a lost friend that could doom what's left of the Nine Realms. So this one drew my eye because of the creative team, which is Michael Avon Oeming, who was one of the creatives on Powers with Brian Michael Bendis. Amazing, amazing comic book. Kind of detective noir style that dives into superhero deaths. So you also have Taki Soma, who is involved in that as well. So Oeming and Soma are together making this. It's just missing Brian Michael Bendis, who's now at DC. And this is a fantasy book. It's taking us into Ragnarok, kind of the eve of Ragnarok. And you're following kind of fantasy characters, elves, talking goats, stuff like that. This is a quarterly book, so it looks like we're going to get four of these a year. It's $5.99, a little expensive, but you do get, it's 48 pages, and it is gorgeous. Written and drawn by Oeming. It starts off a little clunky, and it's covering a lot of ground very quickly, right? They're throwing out big beats about Ragnarok and what it could mean to the Earth, and the characters really don't get a lot of time to breathe in that. As it kind of settles into a groove, they do focus more on characters and make some decent progress in kind of having these inner voices lead you through significant periods of time and all that stuff. I did not see this book going where I thought it was, which was cool. You know, there's times where it's just like straight fantasy and it's adhering to that and these big threats coming to bring Ragnarok. And then, well, I won't say where it goes, but I will give you this. At the very end of the After Realm, they give the influences for this book, which is ancient mysteries, which makes sense. Mythology, again, that makes sense with where they're going. Dungeons and Dragons, which you actually see dice from Dungeons and Dragons within the first few pages used as runes, which is kind of cool.
They're
glowing. They almost look like infinity gems. And then 80s arcades. And just wrap your brain around that, but don't think too much. You're going to want to read this through to the end and then see kind of what they have set up for the next issue, which, by the way, if you buy this comic, do not flip it over. The back cover is actually the tease for issue two. I don't know who came up with that idea. Terrible. Because you, like, if you look at that and don't page through the comic, you're going to think it's something completely different. And issue two comes out in May. So you'll have a bit of a wait to get that.
Wow.
So you could put it on your list, like if you fly through comics, you need something else to grab. This isn't a bad one. Kyle, I know you didn't get to read this one this week. This was kind of a late addition by me and just kind of a curveball I wanted to kind of throw into my stack here. I'm I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10. I think it's off to an interesting and very different start. I don't read a lot of fantasy stuff. Maybe it's not top tier among that stuff just because I don't have that knowledge. But I really liked it. So someone who's just kind of getting into it myself, this is a solid issue one. All the books this week are great. I'm going to say Vader is elite of those, but man, you can't go wrong with Ant-Man or Justice League. You're getting big beats from those. X-Men and Fantastic Four. A lot of heroes in both universes are represented here this week, which is always fun to see. We picked up 5 books and I got so much different stuff and had a blast reading it. That's what I love about comics.
Yeah, this week was awesome. Whenever I saw the comics, you sent me the list of the comics that you wanted to review. There was not one of them that I thought like, oh, I've never really heard of that. Or, they all piqued my interest just from looking at the covers and the titles. And I just knew that we were in for a good week of reading.
And next week looks awesome, too, because guess what?
What?
Thor number 3.
Oh, yeah.
So right there, like Tuesday night, I'm going to be like having trouble sleeping because I'm going to want to read this because that's my favorite comic right now.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of which, so let's talk about what's coming next week.
Upcoming comics.
All right. You ready for this, Kyle? Let's see if you get excited from these.
Okay.
Over at Marvel, and I'm gonna tell you right now, these are the books that I absolutely am going to be buying no matter what. Along with Thor, Nebula has a new number one. You know her from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sister of Gamora, father, daughter of Thanos, that guy. She has a new number one. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with this, how deep they're going to go into her character development. And then we also have an interesting number one. We have Gwen Stacy is getting her own book.
Ooh.
So this is going to spin out of Amazing Spider-Man, number 31 to be exact. That should be interesting. And then this is kind of a curveball in a weird thing that I want to pick up because it kind of breaks my brain when I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers, a Valentine's Day special. Think about that for a second.
It's interesting.
So Xeno Love, Robot Love, Robomance. You're going to have robot on robot loving. Is that Optimus Prime? Who's Optimus hooking up with? What about Bumblebee? I'm fascinated by this thing. I have to check that out.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I'm just saying that that's just a totally interesting take on Transformers.
It's probably going to be terrible, but I need to satisfy my curiosity.
Yeah.
Right? I need to know what happens.
Yep.
At DC Comics, we're going to be grabbing the first issue of Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, which, hey, it's perfectly timed with the release of a new movie.
Mm-hmm.
This happens a lot. Sometimes ongoing books can be upended in terrible ways just to try to create a jumping on point for people that saw the movies. Obviously, you could see why comic book companies would want to do this, but it is super annoying at times. Grant Morrison is back on Green Lantern with season 2. We'll be getting that. It's going to kick off with a 30-page book. It's just called Green Lantern Season 2. It's going to go into Young Guardians, Black Star. That should be pretty interesting. And then there's a book over at Image called Tartarus, which is a sci-fi drama.
Mm-hmm.
And get this. Here's what it says. A new adventure series with all the sci-fi drama of Breaking Bad set in Mos Eisley. We got to check that out.
Is it drug dealing in Mos Eisley going on or something?
Making space meth? I don't know.
Something.
But 44 pages on that one. So those are the books that we're absolutely going to be grabbing. And then for the remainder of the week, Avatar Press has Escape of the Living Dead, Airborne 1-3. There's a lot of those coming out in one day. Also, No Hero 1-4. They're just releasing all of them, apparently. Boom has Alienated, number 1. Not sure what that is, but it sounds kind of interesting. Dark Horse continues with Stranger Things, if you're buying that. That is issue 2 of Into the Fire. DC Comics, we gave you a couple already, but there's also going to be Catwoman 20. Flash 88, that might be a good jumping on point. I'll take a look at that. That could be something to review if one of these other books doesn't turn out or we skip it. There's also a new Supergirl, number 39, Superman 20, Wonder Woman 751, if you liked what you read of 750. That could, again, continue the thread. I think it's going to continue the main story, not the one that Snyder wrote, by the way. But we'll see. I'll page through it at the comic rack and see what happens there. And by the way, if you're at a comic book store, don't feel if you just have to pick it up and buy it. Go ahead and just leaf through those things. You'll see collectors in there looking at every little corner on those things. But go ahead, just pick it up and flip it open and see if you like. Read a few pages.
You know, I kind of wondered if that was a thing. I mean, do people go and is it all right to go in a comic book shop and start to kind of read the introduction to a comic before you buy it? Or
absolutely. Okay. Don't read the whole book. You know what I mean? Don't just stand there and finish it. I've seen people do that, but you know, give it a couple pages. See if you like the writing, if you like the art. The one thing I see a lot of people do is they'll just flip all the way through it. It's like, you're just going to spoil it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a couple pages, you know, a couple flips and you're fine. Marvel also has Amazing Spider-Man 39. That could be a jumping on point, by the way, because I think they just ended a series. I think we even looked at the last one there. Black Panther, the Agents of Wakanda is at number 6. Doctor Strange is at number 3. Jessica Jones, by the way, Blind Spot number 3. I don't know if you're still going to want to read that, Kyle.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Okay, you're on board.
Yeah.
And then Spirits of Ghost Rider, Mother of Demons, number 1 coming out. I'm a little scared of that thing. Symbiote Spider-Man, number 3. Venom, number 23. I'll be reading that. I just love anything Donny Cates.
Mm-hmm.
He also has Thor, number 3. Let's just mention that one more time. X-Force, number 7, and X-Men 6. I'll get X-Men 6, but I do not see that as any type of jumping on point for people. You got to start that from issue 1. At least what I've read so far. It is dense and tough to get into. And that's kind of it. Valiant has Bloodshot 6. That's going to be a movie with Vin Diesel coming out soon. And yeah, that's it for the books and our show this week.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I've talked to some people actually that have gone with our recommendations and they are now actively getting those books each month, which tickles me beyond belief. Like they're along for the ride with us here. That's what this is about. We're not trying to say these are every book you needed to buy, but hopefully it opens your eyes to some other books that are similar that you can look at and go, hey, I like that Ant-Man number 1. Mm-hmm. This other book looks similar. Again, flip it open, see what you think. Obviously, you can't do that digitally, but that's why we love comic shops so much, because they are such a wonderful place to be and so much reading can be done there. You know, just walk out of there with 10 books. Hundreds, thousands of different stories there every week. You just can't beat it. And every Wednesday is new comic book day. So thanks again, everyone, for the support. Kyle, for putting this show together. You're doing a bang-up job.
Thank you.
And we'll be back again next week with another 5 to 6 books that we will either recommend or say get something else. See you next time.
Bye.